This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, folks. I hope your day is off to a good start today. Went outside of the house at 6:30 this morning. It was raining. It's like, here we go. Now we hope the day gets better for everyone. Got a great show lined up for you today. We will visit with Austin Badon, New Orleans' first city clerk of court, in the 12 o'clock hour. Evictions are up since the pandemic moratorium ended. We'll talk about the challenges there, what that means, and where we're headed along those lines. We're going to be visiting with some folks from the beach at UNO. Rebecca Conwell, president and CEO, as well as Shafin Khan, the vice president of external affairs and innovation at the beach at UNO as well. Michael Heck brings them on as a guest in the second half of that hour. Exciting new project. UNO launches their Louisiana Wind Energy Hub at the beach there at UNO. Really excited, looking forward to talking to them about this. As Michael Heck put it, every movement needs a home. And boy, wouldn't it be great if it was right there at my alma mater, the University of New Orleans. And we'll talk about that, and we'll visit with Michael Heck in the first half of that hour as well, talking about a number of issues and challenges that we're facing at the present time. Got open lines in this hour, and I'm going to start it off. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but you've heard me talk a lot about how we have become offender-centric and not victim-centric. Not only here in the greater New Orleans area, but around the country. I mean, we have been almost crazy infatuated with this. To give you an example, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, Democrat, signed a bill. Hold on, because this is going to be a big difference in the lives of these folks. Banning the word inmate in all state laws. Replacing all usages of the term with another term. Incarcerated individual. In fact, I think she would have much preferred, because in her presser, she used the term justice-involved individuals. So I guess it was a compromise to go to incarcerated individual. And as a result of this, she said, we can make our streets and communities safer by giving justice-involved individuals the chance to complete their rehabilitation program and work at the same time. The law officially replaces any instance of inmate with incarcerated individual. She goes on to say, or as one of her folks attending, Senator Gustavo Rivera, the author of the bill, says language matters. And I'm proud that my bill will replace all references of the word inmate with incarcerated individual. Now, I always like to go to the meaning of the word, right? Inmate, what does it mean? How's it defined? It's defined as a person confined to an institution such as a prison or hospital. Is that what an incarcerated individual means as well? I don't understand. This is a distinction that doesn't even really matter, right? But why are we so consumed with this? I mean, it's absolutely insane what's going on, as though we're playing to a sector of the electorate that I don't really believe cares that much about this at all. There was a great quote by New York conservative radio host Bob Lonsberry. He said that justice involved individuals deserves a different meaning. In an effort to avoid the stigma of justice involved individuals, we will now refer to those as Democrats. There you go. Advocates for this law argued that linguistic stigma prevents released inmates from reintegrating into society upon release. Penological terms such as felon, inmate, prisoner, offender, and convict, these terms actually serve to dehumanize, degrade, and stigmatize people. Using a term such as incarcerated individual, that term actually recognizes the humanity of people. I don't know about you, but I read this article and I'm like, we have lost our minds. I guess the next move is going to be that if you go away for 40 years for killing somebody, that you are societally absent. So that where there's no reference to the horrific crime that you were actually involved in. We have completely lost sight of what this criminal justice system is all about, right? I mean, it's about holding people accountable for criminal behavior. Behavior against societal norms, which ultimately becomes law. And we are so misdirected in our view as to where we're going with this. Does anybody really believe that some of the most horrific crimes that occurred the other day? How about the guy that was raping the woman that was unconscious in the French Quarter? You think there's going to be a difference in his mind as to be, and hopefully they catch the guy as rather he's referred to as inmate, prisoner, offender, or an incarcerated individual? Is that softer? Does it really matter? Where are we going? And it's this move. This is not defund, right? So these are policy decisions that are being made out there that are making a difference as to the brazenness of criminals. Because they recognize that there's a sector of the community that's willing to coddle them, spoon feed them, breastfeed them, do whatever. That society is going to take them under their wing and work through this process and forget about whether or not, you know, the horrific nature of the crime that they committed and holding them accountable. They've altered and changed the lives of many families across this country, and we're worried about their feelings. And we completely and totally forget the victim. I don't see anybody trying to recoin a phrase as it relates to victim to better describe the horrific nature of what it is that they've had to encounter in life. A life that in many cases will never be the same. We have completely minimized the horrific impact of somebody sticking a gun in somebody's face. Of someone stealing a car, someone stealing their property, someone assaulting them, someone committing a battery on them. None of that matters anymore. Great article in National Review looking at Colorado. This article really set me back on my heels in one respect, but not so surprising in others. Now, Denver, for example, has not received, according to the article, and it's true, the same level of media attention as other cities like New York, Minneapolis, Chicago, Portland, Seattle, Philadelphia, and others, and the list goes on and on, Detroit. But the crime rate in Denver has to run amok. In fact, Denver is, they're talking about, they investigate 58 homicides this year. And it may break last year's record of 100, right? We're at 170 in the city of New Orleans right now. In 2012, they had 39. In 2013, they had 42. In 2014, 31. 2015, 52 homicides. 2016, 56. And 2017, 57. But over the last several years, Colorado's had the highest auto theft rate than any other state, only behind Washington, D.C., according to the December report by the nonpartisan group Common Sense Institute that analyzed this Colorado crime wave. Colorado has also led the nation in bank robberies and what is called porch piracy, where they're taking goods that are dropped off at your home off your porch, off your front porch. Violent crimes, property crimes, retail theft, and illegal carrying of weapons are all on the rise as well. So they're trying to figure out what's going on here. What's happening? We've got this national trend. We know that this is an experience that we're having in a bunch of different areas of the country. They haven't really defunded the police. They're not really in favor of increasing funding, but they don't know why they're experiencing what they're experiencing at the present time. And they began to look at this and they realized, you know, the way that we treat repeat offenders in the state of Colorado is not that aggressive. In fact, once again, another state that is that has expressed a desire to be offender-centric. They describe what they're experiencing right now in the level of violence that they're seeing in Denver. For the first time, it's as bad as it was in the old crack cocaine gang times in the early 1990s. We've had these same conversations about what's going on here in the city. It's so bad that the city is now having to offer incentives for businesses to move downtown. And they say it's difficult because you're dealing with a lot of young people that are down there. Homelessness is run amok. Legalization of marijuana. They said, you know, you're basically living in a marijuana ashtray as you live downtown. The conventioners don't want to come here anymore. Same thing that happened to San Francisco with the homeless population and having to watch people urinate and defecate all over the sidewalk. So the conventioners just basically, why would I want to come here? This is disgusting. Well, the same thing is happening in Denver. And they said that their homeless problem there that they've avoided, haven't really dealt with, has created an air of lawlessness, an air of unsafety. It chases away the nightlife, and it chases away the average law-abiding citizen, and they said it feeds on itself, and it's running amok. So in Colorado, what they decided to do is they had some significant policy changes. So, for example, in 2014, you'll love this, cost of living increased for theft of vehicles. So they downgraded penalties for theft of vehicles worth less than $20,000. And what happened? A 135% increase over the following 10 years compared to a 3% increase nationally. How hard is it to connect these dots? Obviously, this is not about the police. This is about a policy. You've heard me talk about this state. We actually gave our criminals a cost of living increase, where now they can only be charged with a felony if it's a theft over $1,000. And everyone there is saying, if you don't think criminals recognize these threshold levels, you're sadly mistaken. And they do. We've talked about that on this show many, many times. So that wasn't enough. Colorado went a little further because they were not treating their offenders appropriately. So in 2019, in an effort to lower incarceration rates, the governor there, Polis, signed a law that made possession of less than 4 grams of most hard drugs, fentanyl and others, a misdemeanor rather than a felony. And what happened? Go figure. A sharp increase in fentanyl-related deaths. There were more than 800 fentanyl-related deaths in Colorado last year, a 260% increase over 2019, the year that that bill passed. And are we connecting the dots? No, of course not. So it gets even worse because now that we've decriminalized a lot of this as it relates to drug cases, they decided in Colorado that it was a smart thing to do for criminal justice reform to allow and restore the rights of convicted felons, including the drug dealers, fentanyl dealers, the folks stealing your cars, and alike. In Colorado, they're allowed to possess firearms. So this move to rearm convicted felons, it was supported by the state's Democratic Attorney General, Philip Weiser, who's now backstroking because guess what happened? Right? Do I need to say it? Things got worse. And it doesn't stop there. After the break, we'll talk about where they went. In addition to this, and we're still having problems connecting the dots, we'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the saga continues in Denver, and why is this important to us? Because these are all provisions and policy initiatives that have been proposed by any number of councils around the state of Louisiana. And what, you know, crime knows no geographic boundary, right? So what goes on in one geographic area can very much have an impact in others. What the experience is in Denver, quite frankly. The outlying areas around Denver have experienced some of the same things because of what's happening not only at the state level, but what's happening within the confines of the city of Denver. And I talk about this so that we can stimulate thought about what's happening. The next time you see or you hear of a policy initiative that kind of doesn't make sense to you, try to connect the dots as to where this is going. There are a lot of examples right here. No one kind of views Denver this way. I didn't, for sure. I knew there were issues relative to the legalization of marijuana in the state. In fact, a good number of folks that were proponents are now opponents because they have seen what has happened. In fact, they said in Denver, drug trafficking and drug possession and drug use is so out in the open, it's crazy. Civic Center Park is basically a drug market. So they went a step further. They followed the lead, I guess, probably of New York, and they had the Colorado bail reform efforts that led to fewer criminals being held in jail. Wanted to make sure that they got out. In the use of what they refer to, and we refer to them the same way, personal recognizance bonds increased by more than 60% between 2019 and 2021. And the number of low-value bonds, bonds of $2 or less, really, increased from 29 in 2010 to 574 in 2020, a 1,879% increase. Now, this is the kicker. A third of felony suspects released on personal recognizance bonds don't show up for court. Therefore, additionally taxing the system, who has to go out and put their hands on these felonious knuckleheads yet again? Well, guess who? The police. And the police are fed up. And they're fed up because of all of these policy changes. They're arresting people, and before they can file all the paperwork, they're walking out of the back door of the jail. And they wonder why they're having the same problem that we're having here in New Orleans in recruiting officers to come to work here. 911 calls are up, crime is up, and the department in Denver is down 170 officers. This has led increased response times to high-priority calls. Sound familiar? Staffing shortage. They have a budget shortfall. We don't have that here. So there's hope. Counties are competing with one another. Every department is in a bidding war with the limited folks that have a desire to go in to this business. Retirees who are those retire eligible employees who otherwise might hang around for a while, they're leaving. So you have this exodus, and no one wants to come to do the job. So the point is simply this, folks. It's not about just the words, I'm not going to defund the police, I don't have a desire to defund the police. We need to pay attention to all of these criminal justice reform policies and understand what the downstream implications are going to be of these policies. Because it leads us to a path that's pretty butt ugly. You've heard me talk about what's going on in New York with bail reform there. You hear the mayor trying to stimulate a movement there. The mayor in New York is a former cop, trying to stimulate a movement there to amend these bail reform laws because they can't stay out in front of this. They identified 10 incarcerated individuals, to use the term in Denver, that this year alone were responsible for 500 arrests. Yeah, you heard me right. 500 arrests. And we wonder why there's a level of frustration out there for the policemen and women that are risking their lives because now they got to go put their hands on these felonious knuckleheads yet again risk their lives for the benefit of the community, for you, and no one's connecting a dot. And they're wondering why officers are leaving. Officers don't want to do this anymore. They're spinning their wheels. They're not making a difference. They don't believe that they can make an impact in the community. And you couple that with the lack of support and the continuation of those villainizing the men and women of law enforcement, you begin to understand why we find ourselves in the predicament we find ourselves in. So it's bigger than the word defund the police. It's bigger than the notion of supporting your police. We need to focus on what's happening with the retreat of holding people accountable. We need to oppose cost of living increases for criminals so that they can steal higher priced items and have it treated as a misdemeanor. I don't know about you, but they're getting a higher cost of living increase than you're getting. Let's go to Gregory on line one. Gregory, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. I mean, that thing that happened at Toulouse and Royal, I had only passed by like a block away, and I heard that woman screaming, and there was a cop there, and he was like unresponsive. That's really not what I want to call about. I mean, that's terrible. Alleged rape of a person. Because I know that neighborhood well, because when I lived in Covington, because my house has to be renovated. That's not the point. We always walk, we park our car around Esplanade and in a secure parking lot, and then we walk up Royal Street. Royal Street's a safe place to walk up. We were on our way to the Mount Leon Hotel. We like to walk. So what? There were three of us, two of my friends from California, Navy buddies, and myself. We're past Toulouse on our way to St. Louis Street, and we heard this screaming, and it had to be the girl that was trying to get the attention of the cop. And we came back, and the woman's like, this woman was just assaulted. This woman was just, I never saw the assault. I cannot say I saw the assault. I guess the perpetrator was gone, but there was a cop nearby. Obviously, according to this woman, he didn't want to respond to anything. He didn't have the time to do it. I don't know what's going on in the 8th District, especially in the French Quarter. And I want to follow this up with, 2 weeks ago, I was taking my friend to GDW Finn's, my favorite restaurant, and we're walking down Bourbon. We don't like, but they like to see it. I don't like it very much. And it was also Toulouse Street. And two cops that I guess are supposed to be on the beat are hanging out at the Ross shop buying cigars, smoking cigars. You know, the Ross shop's like a half a block off of Bourbon on Toulouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know where it is.
Aren't they supposed to be on duty? Is up there break time? Somebody's going to tell me what's going on in the 8th District because...
Gregory, I don't know exactly, you know, do they have breaks? Yes, they do. Are they allowed to do that during their break? I would assume so. Sometimes what appears to be something, it's not. You know, the situation as described, and that's why I've reserved my comment on what the situation in the French Quarter. They're investigating it. That's what they need to do, and we'll see what comes of this at the present time. I don't know that they actually have the victim or the perpetrator. I don't think they have the perpetrator, and I'm not sure they have an identity on the victim either. But as this kind of plays itself out, we'll gain a better understanding of what exactly happened there. When you're in a highly trafficked area like that and there's communications going back and forth and not exactly sure who communicated what to whom and at what time, does it not look good? It doesn't look good at all, quite frankly. But I'm not exactly sure what it is. And so I think, you know, the best that we could hope for is that they're investigating it and hopefully they'll get to the bottom of it. And if the officer didn't do what he was supposed to do, he needs to be punished, plain and simple. And, you know, depending on the severity of it, how much punishment will be determined at that point in time. That's what effective, credible leaders do that lead police organizations. They get all over this for the sake of maintaining the public's trust, because you don't want to lose the public's trust. It's very fragile. You hold it in the palm of your hand. You have to manage it and massage it very carefully, because once you lose it, you have to work three times as hard to get it back. And it's hard to get it back. Some you will never get back. And that's the risk of not being aggressive and not getting all over these investigations from the onset. And that's not a criticism of what happened here, because they got on it. I don't know exactly when they knew of all of this. It seems as though it might have been several weeks ago. That's a problem if it didn't get to the next level and somebody was looking in to this. But we'll see. The timeline will be put together, I hope, and will be revealed, I hope. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back. Let's go to the talk lines. Joe, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, you know, all these problems we're seeing, I think it's, and it's been well talked about, we need to adhere to the rule of law. Without the rule of law, we don't have a country, we don't have a city. We have gotten so far away from that, relaxed all standards that we've grown up with for decades. And it is truly destroying the country. It used to be phrases like that were hyperbole. Now they're not hyperbole. It's that the country's truly being destroyed on many different facets. And, you know, trying to keep politics out of it, which is hard to do nowadays, I think it's this liberal thinking, the soft on crime, the coddling criminals, not wanting to call them inmates, and every derivation of that, illegal immigrations, higher taxes, inflation, the China posturing we're seeing, the Russia war, the pronouns, the trannies, the men can have babies. How far out of the realm of possibility is it that we're going to start coddling pedophiles? We are completely going in the wrong direction.
Oh, we've already started. We've already started that. They've already started coddling pedophiles. They're making excuses.
So you know, it's gone. It's all, the toothpaste is out of the tube.
Joe, let me ask you this: Why do we sit back and allow it to happen? I mean, I just don't see a lot of overt acts by folks pushing back on these folks they're just willing to accept it. I mean, is it fear of being ostracized or being called racist or xenophobe? I mean, they get aggressive in their name calling and everything else. It doesn't bother me. I push back because I think all of this is absolutely asinine. I mean, we've lost our minds
here. Well, that is a great question, and I would love an answer to that. That is the question of our time. You were a public official once. You had and you have a platform. You know, guys like me and hundreds of thousands, millions of people, we don't have a platform. What do? We can only vote. If you speak out on anything racist, they cancel you. If you speak, our platform is so limited, but yet we are charging hard the wrong direction. I would love to know the answer to what is the most effective way that the everyday guy like me that doesn't have a platform other than on your show, to be honest, what do we do to right this ship? Because you have, and I'll use a nasty word, you have idiots like the mayor of New Orleans who is destroying our city, but stupid doesn't know stupid. So she doesn't understand. I have clients from out of town that laugh at our city. They used to come in for a big conference. They laugh at it. They'll send me videos of this idiot speaking on the news channels and send me YouTubes. It's like, man, what is up with your city? I no longer want to go there. We have a competitive advantage in a lot of ways with our city. Used to be charming, used to be known for its food. We still have good food, but like I told the man that put me on this phone call, you know, we used to be able to go into Galatoire's, GW Fins. I've talked to you about this before. You used to be able to go in there, 7 o'clock dinner, have a couple of drinks, have a nice meal, come strolling out on the bourbon, walk to your car. You can no longer do that. I stopped doing that about 2 years ago. I know you're fans of both of those places, as am I. But it's not an option now. You go down there with your loved ones, and you're really going to come out on Bourbon Street and walk to your car at 8 o'clock? I'm not. The risk-reward is not there for me. But again, back to the general premise, this move to the liberal thinking that we're hard-charging into is it, on all the ways, and then some that I've highlighted to you, somebody's got to tell me where we are better off for this liberal thinking. I don't get it. I'd love to know where. I'd love to be proven wrong.
No, I'm with you.
I know that's a lot to unpack.
No, it's not really. I mean, we're living it every day, right? I mean, we're seeing it every day. And the folks that they are talking about actually wanting to protect, those are the folks that are having a higher incident rate in their neighborhood. They're the ones suffering more than anyone else. The folks that are in upper middle class, upper class incomes, they make accommodations. They're nimble. They can afford to do things. They can alter their lifestyle on a snap of a finger. Others cannot. And those are the folks that are really being hammered by these policies day in and day out. But we're not connecting dots. And we continue to vote people in that continue to talk this craziness, like incarcerated individual. That's softer than inmate. It has the same exact meaning. It's like we're engaging in these activities just for the sake of the engagement. We have too much time on our hands. We're not focusing on the right things. We're not setting the right priorities. And we continue to do this all the time. I mean, when you think about the amount of energy that was spent dealing with facial recognition and other intelligence tools to gather criminal intelligence to do what? To empower the police to be able to what? Go out and catch the bad guy. You think about all the energy consumed in the debate on this subject? And we talk about things in the abstract, and maybe there was one or two misidentifications, so therefore everything is subject to abuse when you have human intervention. So if that's going to be the platform, then we can't do anything. Policing then subject to abuse. I mean, you know, how about elected officials subject to abuse? How many did we have under indictment in the last 3 to 5 years and facing indictment? I mean, you know, We've lost our minds. We're going crazy on this stuff. And meanwhile, our communities, our people, rich, middle income, poor, are all suffering at differing levels. but the poor population in our city suffering more than anyone else. And that's who allegedly they're standing up for. Really? We'll be right back. Ray's commitment to his community could be seen through the numerous awards and civic organizations he was solicited to participate in. Some of his more cherished positions were as member of the Board of Regents for the state's colleges and as treasurer of the National World War II Museum. Governor Bobby Jindal and Governor John Bel Edwards saw the knowledge and leadership that Ray had and both tapped him as chairman of the Louisiana Motor Vehicle Commission, a position he held until he passed away. He also desired, along with his wife, Jessica, to form something more lasting for the community, and together they established the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation, solidifying their commitment to education and the community around them. That's it. You can send that to...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.